If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, in just a moment we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. We're in our second message in a series, No Fear, No God. If you don't know the fear of God, you won't know the Lord. If you know how to fear God, then you'll know the Lord. And this morning's message is entitled, Don't Play with Fire. Don't play with fire. You know, I mentioned it a few weeks ago, I think, in one of my Wednesday evening services, but several months ago in the news, a warning went out to parents concerning a disturbing and dangerous trend among teens called the fire challenge. And all across the United States, kids were dousing themselves with rubbing alcohol and setting themselves on fire while someone else was videotaping. In one case, it was the kid's mother that was videotaping her. And he ended up in the hospital with severe burns. But what they generally do is that they take the video and they post it on YouTube, and they get excited by seeing how many views, how many clicks they get on their video. And these kids weren't worried about danger. Their primary interest was looking macho and showing off and getting all of the attention on social media. Multiplied thousands of kids were viewing the videos and sharing them on various social media sites. In fact, eventually it became so dangerous that the social media sites started banning those videos. But the more attention the videos got, the more that other teens were encouraged to do it, and they would up the ante. They would make it more dangerous because they wanted to outdo the last guy so that they could get more likes on their video. Many viewed it as entertainment, but a lot of these teens ended up being badly burned. In fact, in one article, officials warned, it could kill you, it could maim you, it can severely disfigure you. The process of how the flame comes up, if you breathe that super heated air, can kill you. And they were warning parents to keep close tabs on their children. Now, apparently these young people had ignored the advice that most parents teach their children from the time that they're young, which is, don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. And you know, the scripture warns us not to play with fire either. The writer of Hebrews warns us that our God is a consuming fire. God is not to be played with. And this is a lesson that two young men learned the hard way. Read with me, if you will, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. But they offered unauthorized fire, some versions say strange fire, before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'" Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, "Come here, carry your cousin outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary." So they came and carried them, still in the tunics, outside of the camp, as Moses ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes." These were signs of mourning. And he's telling them not to mourn. He says, "Do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the Israelites, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire." Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons are not to drink wine or any other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for generations to come, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean, and so you can teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses." You know, as we think about this passage of scripture, I want you to think about this question. Can you imagine coming to a worship service and winding up dead? Because that's exactly what happened to these two young men as they came in a worship service to the tabernacle. Now, the central theme of the book of Leviticus is the holiness of God, and how he is to be worshipped. The Hebrew word for holy, kadesh, is used some 152 times in the book of Leviticus, because Leviticus is a call to holiness for God's people. The message of Leviticus is that God is infinitely perfect and holy. He is completely separate from sin. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot even look upon sin. And a sinful people cannot approach God in his glory. Now, they had just completed building the tabernacle according to very detailed instructions that God had given Moses. And in the center of the tabernacle, there was something called the Holy of Holies, the innermost court, where God's manifest presence or his visible glory was manifest. And if anyone entered into that place, they would be struck dead or consumed by the fire of a holy God. Only the high priest was allowed to enter in once a year, bringing the blood of the atonement. And no one, if he were struck dead, no one would be able to go back behind the curtain to retrieve his body. So they put a rope around his waist and they put bells at the bottom of his tunic so that if the bells stopped ringing, they knew that he had been struck dead and they could pull his body out. And all of this was intended to impress upon the people the holiness of God and how careful we must be in coming before his presence. The Holy of Holies was separated from the rest of the tabernacle by a very heavy veil. And that veil was there to protect the people who, because of their sin, if they came into the presence of a holy God, they would have been struck dead. But the veil or the curtain was also there to protect God's glory from being defiled by contact with sinful humanity. And God established a system of sacrifices as central to Israel's worship that was intended to point them to Jesus, who would be the ultimate sacrifice, the only means by which we could approach God, by which we could come into the presence of a holy God. And then he established the priesthood, men that were set apart, separated as holy unto God, as the ones who could enter into the temple and offer sacrifices and offer incense representative of the worship of the people before the Lord. And what a tremendous privilege it must have been to be chosen by God, not by anything that they had done, but by his grace to represent the people in worship to God. And he gave very detailed instructions about how they were to worship him. Very detailed instructions, specific ways in which the sacrifices were to be chosen. They were to be without spot nor blemish, and how they were to be sacrificed and how the blood was to be offered, and an exact recipe of the mixture of incense that was to be offered before him. And all of these specific instructions were intended to show us that we cannot approach God any way that we choose. That we must be very careful when we come before God, and we must come on his terms, not ours. These instructions were intended to teach us that we cannot treat God lightly, that we cannot come to God any way that we choose. We must come in the fear of the Lord, honoring his holiness. Now, Nadab and Abihu, they were priests before the Lord. They had been given the wonderful privilege and responsibility of entering into the holy place to minister unto the Lord in worship before God's presence. But Nadab and Abihu did not apparently fear God. And instead of being grateful for the privilege of being priests and the privilege of being able to come before God's presence, they treated it lightly. They took it for granted and they presumed upon that privilege. And they chose to do things their own way rather than God's way. Now, this story has particular significance for us because the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 2:9 that we have been granted the privilege as Christians of being called a royal priesthood unto God. So today we stand in the position that Nadab and Abihu stood in their day. And we have been given access to the Holy of Holies in heaven, the throne room of God, through the blood of Christ, so that we can come boldly before his throne of grace, as the author of Hebrews tells us. So since God has not changed, there are many spiritual lessons for us to be drawn from the experience of Nadab and Abihu. And we're going to look at what happens when we take God lightly. What happens when we try to serve God not according to his ways, but on our own terms. The first thing I want us to look at is the mistake of playing with fire. Because as the scripture says, our God is a consuming fire. So let's look first at the act of playing with fire. Nadab and Abihu's tragic mistake was that they presented strange fire, unauthorized fire before the Lord. This was supposed to be an act of worship, but they were coming and trying to worship God in their own way, on their own terms. Rather than following God's instructions, they decided they would just freestyle it and do it their way. They were going to worship God how they chose. Now, God had instructed that the fire in the censers were supposed to be taken from off of the brazen altar, which is the altar of sacrifice. No other fire was acceptable to be offered before God, because sinful man cannot come into the presence of a holy God except through the shed blood of sacrifice. And that's why the fire, the coals, had to be taken from the brazen altar where the sacrifices were offered unto the Lord. And God had given specific instructions on the mixture of incense that was to be offered before him. But they decided they didn't like God's recipe. So they were going to just substitute their own incense according to their own recipe. They should have come before God through the blood of sacrifices, humbly surrendered in obedience to God's ways, to offer worship that was holy and acceptable unto him. But instead, they took it upon themselves to get their own fire and their own incense. And God describes it as a strange fire. A strange fire. The word in Hebrew means foreign, unauthorized, or profane. And they did not consider what God had required as important. They did not give weight to the instructions of God. They just came and offered to God what they chose to offer to God, what was convenient for them. You know, maybe they thought that God's instructions were too extreme, too exacting, too restrictive. So they bypassed the altar of sacrifice and they substituted their own fire. Why do we have to follow his rules? They substituted their own way, their own will, and offered it to God as worship. But substitutes for the worship that God desires are not acceptable in his eyes. We cannot come to God any way that we choose. Also, the priests were to enter in at certain times. They served by a schedule. But Nadab and Abihu apparently came when they felt like it. Moses had consecrated them as priests just the day before, and they had been given instructions on what God required of them. But they had not been instructed to offer incense before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu were so excited about becoming priests that they took it upon themselves to offer incense unto the Lord. They didn't seek guidance or approval from their leader Moses. They just took it upon themselves. And what it shows us, there was no submission to spiritual authority. It was worship on their own terms. Now, Nadab and Abihu knew what was supposed to be done and when it was supposed to be done and how it was supposed to be done, because when Moses consecrated them as priests, he gave them instructions. He gave them the instructions that God had given him for how they were to minister unto the Lord, how they were to offer worship unto the Lord. In fact, in Exodus 30, verse 9, God said to Moses, "You shall offer no unholy incense on the altar of incense." And Moses communicated the instructions of God to them when he consecrated them as priests. But they disregarded the command of God to not offer strange incense, unholy incense. They disregarded the word of God. They were not going to do it God's way. They were going to do it their own way. Now let me ask you something. How many times do we offer to God substitutes for what he has required of us? Oh, God will accept it because he's a God of grace. He understands. And we offer to God a substitute. How many times have we made up our own recipe for the Christian life and then offered it up to God as though he should accept whatever we offer him, and he should be pleased with it, because after all, we're doing him a favor to worship and serve him. How many times have we thought that God's requirements are too exacting, too extreme, too restrictive? And so we have chosen to freestyle it, going according to our feelings and our opinion of what should be acceptable in the sight of God. So we disregard his word in favor of what we feel we want to offer him, and when we feel we want to offer it to him. That's the act of playing with strange fire. But let's look at the attitude of playing with strange fire, the attitude that provoked that action. And the basis of this attitude is that they simply had no fear of God. No fear of God. They forgot the holiness of God and his glory. They forgot his transcendence, that he is great, that he is high above all, that he is different from them, and that he was not to be treated as common or one like unto them. He was not to be taken lightly. You know, the Hebrew word for the glory of God in the Old Testament means heavy or weight. To give God weight, which speaks of importance. It speaks of significance. He is not to be treated lightly. Nadab and Abihu became overly familiar with God. They became overly familiar. And they did not fear the Lord. They did not accord him the reverence, the importance, the fear that he deserves. You see, they were the sons of Aaron, the high priest. They were always around the things of God and the leaders of God and the word of God. And they began to treat it commonly. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We have the wonderful privilege of being called the children of God through faith in Christ. We have been made the friends of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And because God has so graciously invited us to draw near unto his throne through the blood of Jesus, we too can risk take the risk of becoming overly familiar with God. We come into church regularly, and you know, when we first got saved, we were awed at everything. We were awed at the presence of God. We were awed at the worship of God. We were awed at the word of God coming forth from the pastor. But after we have been in church for a while, we can begin to treat as common the things that are holy, begin to take them for granted, begin to presume upon them. And before you know it, we are not treating them with the fear that we ought to. We are treating them lightly. Our intimacy with God must never become an occasion for irreverence or to treat the house of God, to treat the word of God, to treat the presence of God, to treat the worship of God, to treat the preaching of God's word as common when it is holy unto God. Nadab and Abihu treated God as common, as one altogether on their level. They disregarded his word. When we have no fear of God, we will disregard the word of God. We will place our opinions, our thoughts, and our feelings above the word of God. And we can see that being played out in our society today, which so openly embraces immorality and has no respect for God, no respect for his word. But unfortunately, this attitude has infiltrated the church as well. Folks, Nadab and Abihu were in the church. They grew up in the church. Their father was the high priest. And they were in church when they were offering to God a strange incense. They had disregarded the word of God. They had come to worship, but they had come to worship with no fear of God and no regard for his word. Do you know that there can be people sitting in this house today that have sang all the same songs that we've sung, yet with no fear of God? And they're freestyling their life. They're not offering to God a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto him. They're offering to God the life that they choose to live, and they're saying, God, this should be acceptable unto you. Nobody here, I'm sure they're all folks at the church down the street, but hallelujah. Nadab and Abihu had a spirit of rebellion. When we choose to do things our own way rather than to submit to God's word and God's leadership through his leaders in the church, we are in rebellion. Moses had just given them instructions the day before. Moses had just communicated to them the word of God, the instructions of God, not to offer any strange fire on the altar. They disregarded the word of God. And they disrespected God's leader. And they did things their own way. They were in rebellion. And when we choose to do things our own way rather than to submit to God's word and submit to the spiritual leaders he has placed over us, we too are in rebellion. Where there is no fear of God, you will see a rebellious spirit, a disregard for the truth of his word, and no respect for spiritual leaders and their authority. And folks, this is rampant in the church today because there is no fear of God. No fear of God. Now, we've seen the mistake of playing with fire. We've seen the mistake that Nadab and Abihu made, and we've seen how that relates to our life, how it can be applied to us today. Now, I want to talk for a moment about the message of playing with fire. If you'll read again with me verses 2 and 3. So, fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And the bottom line is this: don't play with fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Nadab and Abihu's actions evoked immediate judgment from God. They came in to offer the strange fire of incense unto God, and before they knew what hit them, a fire broke forth from the presence of God and struck them dead, consuming them. Now, when you read this story, we have a tendency to think, man, did God have to kill him? Wasn't that a little harsh? Wasn't that a severe approach of discipline? Couldn't God have used something else? But the severity of the consequences matched the seriousness of their actions and their attitude. You see, they had seen God's awesome presence and glory manifesting on the top of Mount Sinai when the mountain quaked and there was a fiery burning cloud and God spoke as the sound of a trumpet, giving unto Moses the Ten Commandments, the instructions for the tabernacle and for the priesthood. They had seen this awesome manifestation of God's glory. They had seen God part the waters of the Red Sea. They had seen God's power and glory manifested on their behalf in the wilderness. But after seeing so much of God's presence and glory, they became desensitized to it. It just became ordinary. Oh, there he goes again. Kind of like we can become after a while in services. The Spirit starts to move and we just kind of sit back and look at our watch and says, there it goes again. And we have become desensitized. We start counting ceiling tiles rather than entering in to the presence of God. Y'all know it's true. That's why y'all laughing. They took God for granted. They treated him as ordinary. They treated him as common. And they forgot his holiness. And by their irreverence, by their disregard for God's word, they were teaching a wrong message about who God is to the rest of the people. They were making him common in the eyes of God's people. They were misleading the people to believe that you can serve God on your own terms. You can come to God any old way that you choose. They were presuming upon his grace while ignoring his holiness. Folks, God is a God of grace. But he's a holy God. You know, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say God is grace, grace, grace. But the Bible says God is holy, holy, holy. Three times. And it is intended to impress upon us the holiness of God. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to see the first words that Moses speaks to these young men's father, Aaron, after God strikes them dead. Look at verse 3. This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. Folks, we got to be careful when we come before the presence of God. Because God says, I'm going to show that I'm holy. Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. And Aaron remained silent. Why does it say Aaron remained silent? The implication is that after God struck his two sons dead, Aaron was railing against God. Aaron was upset with God. How could you do that to my boys? They were serving you. They were worshiping you. They were in you. How could you do? And God shuts Aaron up. And he says, remember what I said. Remember what I said. I will show myself holy. I will show myself holy. See, God speaking through Moses stopped Aaron's complaint, saying God is holy and we must never forget that he is a holy God. And then if you look down at verse 6, this is incredible. He tells Aaron and his other sons, Nadab and Abihu's brothers, not even to mourn, not even to cry, not to shed a tear for Nadab and Abihu, or they too would die. And God would be angry with all of Israel. He would bring judgment on all of Israel. Wow. Aaron was their father. He had just lost two of his sons. His other sons were their brothers. They had just lost two of their brothers. And God says, I don't even want you to shed a tear. Why? Because if they cried over these two young men that had dishonored God, they would be taking those two young men's position against God. And they would be dishonoring the Lord. So God says, don't even shed a tear. You know what that's teaching us? That's teaching us the seriousness of the holiness of God and how we must honor the holiness of God above all else. We must honor the holiness of God. And then finally, I want us to see that God's fire sanctifies or it consumes. It sanctifies or it consumes. Now, we know fire throughout Scripture represented the presence of God. And God's fire either comes as a burning, cleansing flame to make us holy, to purge out from us anything that is not pleasing to God, to purge out from us sin and ungodly attitudes and desires. His presence comes either to sanctify us, change us, and make us holy, or his presence will come and it will consume us. God's fire is a consuming fire. If we rebel against him, if we dishonor him, if we disregard his word, if we do not fear him, if we do not give him the reverence that he deserves, then we will encounter his fire as a consuming fire. And about 10 years ago in the service, the Spirit of God was moving, and I received a very strong prophetic word about someone in the congregation that was bound to pornography, and that if they did not repent and stop their actions, that the judgment of God would come upon them, and they would become sick and even blind. It was a very difficult word, a very strong word, and I struggled to give it. And after I gave the word, no one came forward or otherwise indicated to me that it had spoken to them. But almost 10 years later, another leader came to me and told me, do you remember the word that you gave? And he described the prophecy that had been given. And then he named a man that used to come to our church. And the man had shared with a family member that when that prophetic word went forth, he knew that God was speaking to him, but he refused to repent. And not long after that, he became ill with a very serious and debilitating sickness. He eventually lost the use of his legs and went blind. And he said, I know that word was for me, and I know that my sickness is the judgment of God. Don't play with fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a wonderful God of grace and of love and of compassion, but he is also a holy, holy, holy God, and we must never forget his holiness. He wants us to love him, but he also calls us to fear him. He is not common. He is not ordinary. He is not at our level. He is not one like unto us, and he must be feared. He must be reverenced. He must be honored in our life. Yes, through the blood of Jesus, he has given us the opportunity to draw near to him, and he calls us to enjoy a close and intimate relationship with him. But do not become overly familiar with him and treat him as your good buddy in the sky. We must never forget that he is a holy, holy, holy God. And today, I want us to bow our hearts before the presence of God. And I want us to really question ourselves. Am I serving God on my own terms? On my own terms rather than his terms. Rather than walking in obedience to his word. Have I been offering up substitutes for worship? Worshiping God in my own way, living a life that is supposed to be a living sacrifice, but the life I'm living is the life of my own choosing, and I'm telling God that this should be acceptable to him. Am I disregarding God's word and living by my own will? Or am I submitting myself to the word of God and saying, convict me, cleanse me, and change me? Are we playing with fire? If we're playing with fire, it is time to repent before it is too late. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before your word today. And Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would cause your word to bring conviction upon our hearts, that you would search our hearts today, Lord God. And Father, if there's even a trace of Nadab and Abihu in us, if there's even a trace, Lord God, of not fearing you and reverencing you, if there's even a trace of treating you lightly, disregarding your word, or disrespecting the spiritual authority that you have placed over us, Father, we pray that we would come before you with a broken spirit, that we would confess these things to you so that you might cleanse us, so that we can offer unto you our lives as a living act of worship that is holy and acceptable in your sight. For this is the reasonable service that you have called us to. Father, work in each and every one of our hearts today in Jesus' name, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Now, we can't even talk about fearing God or walking in holiness until we have a relationship with God. Israel was God's people. They had a relationship with him, and he called them to fear him. And if you're here today and you do not yet have a relationship with God, the only way to have a relationship with him is through his son, Jesus Christ. Because our sin separates us from God. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians that when we are in our sin, we are dead spiritually. And God is spirit. So if we're dead spiritually, we can't even communicate with him. We can't know him. We're cut off from him. But that's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die for his own sins. He died for our sins. So that when we place our faith in him, we confess our sins and we repent of our sins. And the word repent simply means to turn away from. We turn our back on our sins. We say, God, I don't want that in my life anymore. I want you. When we confess and repent of our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us. And then we invite him to come and live inside of us. And that's what Jesus described as being born again. It's the beginning of spiritual life. We were dead in our sins, but he makes us alive in Christ. The beginning of spiritual life, being born again. It's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God, of learning to love him and serve him and walk in his ways. It's what we also call being saved, because we are saved from our sins. And we are promised, instead of judgment for eternity, we're promised joy in the presence of God. So today, if you do not yet know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you would say this morning, I want to be saved. I want to have my sins forgiven, and I want to know that I'm in a right relationship with God. Or maybe you did that many years ago and you've drifted away and you know you need to come back. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and just say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus. Is there anyone this morning? Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else this morning? Thank you for another hand. 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 Is there anyone else this morning?